I would invite you to turn with me in God's Word to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 21 through 23. This is the message from the angel to Mary about the one she would be giving birth to. The angel said, verse 21, "She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people, from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for the reality of Emmanuel. And we pray, God, this day and every day in the upcoming year and the years to come, that we will live our lives in light of the reality that is Emmanuel. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What is it that makes good news good news? Well, actually, it depends on where you stand in relationship to the news you hear. Is Alabama winning the 2021 Iron Bowl good news? Well, it depends, doesn't it? It depends on if you're an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan, where you stand in relation to that news. David Hartman appears on WAPT. He says there's a severe storm front on its way, but the storm front is going to pass north and miss our viewing area completely. Is that good news or bad news? Well, it depends. It depends on if you live north or south of what he's talking about. See, in both scenarios, the news is what it is. But describing the news as good or bad depends on where we stand in relationship to the news. Now, as you know, the word gospel means good news. And the gospel is good news. It's the best news that has ever been broadcasted anywhere. But for some people, maybe for you, the gospel is not good news. It depends. It depends on where you stand in relationship to the message of the gospel. We're going to look at this term this morning, this word, Jesus our Emmanuel, which means God with us. And what we discover here is because Jesus is Emmanuel, because Jesus is God with us, the good news of the incarnation always affects two groups of people in two different ways. Always affects two different people in two different ways. The good news of the gospel, let's look at the first group of people, and that's this. The message of Emmanuel, God with us, offends people who do not embrace Jesus as Savior and Lord. That good news, Emmanuel, God with us, it offends people who do not embrace Jesus as Savior and Lord. You know, every year, without fail, we witness a full court press, public relations war against Christmas and against, well, calling Christmas Christmas even. Every year, nativity sets, school Christmas programs, Christmas itself seems to light a fuse, setting off a powder keg of controversy from coast to coast. But when you do a deep dive into why Christmas offends people, you discover at least part of that offense lies in one little word in verse 23. God with us. Now we know that Jesus is God. He's the architect and builder of all we see and all we don't see. He's the God who displays His glory in the heavens and displayed His glory in Jesus Christ. Jesus is God with us. That is, He's redemptively, relationally, He's present to bless His people. And Jesus is God with us. Now the question is, in verse 23, who exactly is that us? Well, it's not everybody. This good news mail-out is not a form letter sent out to every single person in every single zip code in the world. No, the us here in Matthew 1:23 is God's chosen people. It's Abraham's seed. Galatians 3:29, John 1:12 spell out who God's chosen people are. Let me read those to you. If you belong to Christ, you are a child of Abraham. And then in John it says, to all who did receive Him, that is, who received Him as Savior and Lord, to those who believe in His name, Jesus gave them right to become children of God. In other words, the us of God with us is people who receive, who believe in, who belong to Jesus. The us is Christians. So there you have it. There's the offense of Christmas. There's what offends people about the Christian faith. You see, to a fallen world, this Christian message of exclusivity is a message that people find less welcome than receiving a positive COVID test. As a matter of fact, in a recent poll, people were asked, what's your biggest problem with Christianity? And the majority answer runs something like this. I'm kind of compiling all the different answers into one. It's basically this. It's so arrogant of Christians to say their religion is superior to other religions. It's arrogant to try to convert other people to their religion. Why can we not be inclusive of all religions? Why can we not affirm the validity of all religions? That's the response of a fallen world. But here's the question we need to ask to anyone who finds that Christianity is exclusive to be offensive. Friends, if all religions are right, except for this one religion whose founder said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If all of them are right but one, are you trying to tell me that one religion Jesus founded is wrong? You say all Christians are valid, but you're saying that religion is wrong. Now, who's guilty of being exclusive? And who's really hating on this religion called Christianity by calling Jesus? Imagine the audacity of calling Jesus arrogant, because Jesus Himself said there's only one way to God. See, another part of the problem is nowadays people consider anyone who disagrees with their religion, anyone who disagrees with their lifestyle as haters. Have you noticed that shift now in our culture? To disagree with someone means to hate someone. Friends, disagreement is not hatred. And what so many people in the media and universities and positions of political leadership believe, it's become a part of the fallen world's confession of faith. Beware when anyone throws the word hate around, the way a terrorist would toss a bomb into a crowd of people at a concert. See, you can say, without fear of being arrogant, you can say on the good authority of the word of Jesus Himself. By the way, you don't make this claim. You say Christianity is the only way, the only religion that's valid. You're not making the claim. The founder of the Christian faith, Jesus, made this claim. It's a claim we make in concert with Jesus. The only way to God, to the Heavenly Father, is through faith alone in Jesus, our Emmanuel. That's not my words. Jesus proclaims the exclusivity of Christianity. You may want to think about it this way. Let's say you know there's something physically wrong with you. And so you go to two doctors. They examine you. They say, well, we don't find anything wrong, but I tell you what we'll do. We'll give you some medicine to relieve your symptoms. Then you go to this third doctor. He's a specialist. He administers a battery of tests, and he concludes, here's what's wrong with you, and here's how we'll treat your problem. Now, is doctor number three being exclusive in his diagnosis and treatment? Yes. Is he saying that the other two doctors are wrong? Sort of, kind of, pretty much. But does doctor number three hate the other two doctors? No. Disagreement is not the same thing as hatred. See, when other religions wrongly diagnose our spiritual problem and the solution to our problem, while Christianity rightly diagnoses our problem and the solution, why is the message of Christianity considered hating on other religions? Listen, this hate speech accusation is nothing more than petty foolishness coming from fallen people living in a fallen world. In fact, Christianity even explains why people of other religions live moral lives. Some people who believe in non-Christian religions are more moral than people who claim to be Christians. Why is that? It's because goodness exists in religion. Because most people in our culture believe, you know, if there is a God, the way to relate to God, the way to get to God, the way to arrive at the pearly gates of heaven is by living a good life. In other words, good living, that's the ticket to heaven. In other words, non-Christian religions promote a system of bartering with God. You know, if you score enough brownie points for good behavior, right living, religious rituals, your reward will be you'll get to God. That's religion. In essence, religion is working your way up to God through what you do. It's buying a stairway to heaven, if I may borrow a popular phrase from a classic rock song. Buying a stairway to heaven with the currency of your own deeds. But Christians understand what separates Christianity from the pack of other religions. And that's this. You see, in Christianity, Jesus does not tell us how to live so that we may merit salvation. No. See, what Christianity tells us is that Emmanuel has come to us. He's come to live for us, to die for us, to forgive us, to save us through his life and death in our place. In the Christian faith, in his life and death, Jesus is our representative. He is our substitute. He came to live and die in our place. So, from a Christian perspective, see, God's grace doesn't come to those who are religious, those who are good enough, whatever that means. How can you know if you're good enough? No, salvation is never a paycheck for services rendered to the Lord, good deeds done in God's name. God's grace comes only to those who confess their failure to perform. That's key. First step in being a Christian, you got to confess. Yes, I've been a failure. I have not kept God's law. See, we have to acknowledge, you know, I don't need a life coach. I don't need a religious system. I don't need a spiritual roadmap. I need a Savior. You see, what we celebrated yesterday is good news. And here's why. Christianity signals the death blow to every attempt we make to get to God by our own efforts. We're not accepted by God because of our moral virtue. We will never be good enough. It's because of what Jesus has done for us. Emmanuel, we can't get to God, but God has come to us. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God coming to earth to save us by living and by dying in our place for us. Beloved, at the end of the day, and every day we will encounter in 2022, the only people who are going to be offended by the good news of the gospel are people who pridefully assume, you know, I can earn my way to heaven. I can earn my way into a relationship of fellowship and favor with God. It's not happening, not now, not ever. Christianity is top down, not bottom up. Christianity is about God coming down to us in the person of Jesus. In this time of year, every day of every year, we need to pray that people would stop pushing Jesus away with their religion. Let's pray for God's grace to give people open minds, open hearts, open arms, to receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord. See, that first group is offended by Emmanuel because they really don't understand grace. Notice the good news of Emmanuel offends one group of people. There's this second group, praise God, and that's this. The message of Emmanuel, God with us, it blesses people who embrace Jesus as Savior and Lord. See, Emmanuel, God with us, offends people who reject Jesus, but Emmanuel, God with us, that message blesses people who embrace Jesus as Savior and Lord. It's a wonderful message. You know, if we begin this morning by listing all the ways that Jesus, our Emmanuel, blesses us, I'll be honest with you, we'd be here to New Year's Eve. So to get you home before 2022 begins, let's just focus on a couple of blessings Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, brings as gifts into our lives. One message is this. Jesus, our Emmanuel, brings into our life the blessing of dignity. The blessing of dignity. I ask you, who are you? Are you nothing more than just a collection of atoms gathered together in a great impersonal sweep of time, and then one day all those atoms are going to be dispersed upon the earth? Let me put the question more bluntly. Are you anything more than a meaningless speck on the timeline of eternity? And then are you more or less important than any other speck on this earth? In practical terms, really, are you worth anything other than your contribution to society and your usefulness to the economy? The Bible answer is emphatic, friends. It's yes! Emmanuel, Jesus, once said, just a few chapters over in Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, are you not more valuable? Are you not more covered with glory than the birds and the flowers? You see, because Emmanuel came to be with us, your value is not earned. It is given by your Heavenly Father. No one can discount the value that God gives you in Christ. And there's nothing you can do today or any other day of your life to reduce the amazing value that Jesus, our Emmanuel, has placed upon all of you who embrace Christ. You know, one of the many benefits of the incarnation is simply that. It's a message of value to us. God coming down from heaven to earth to bring salvation to us. That's what makes us significant. It's what makes us precious. Regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you do, regardless of how smart or successful or useful you may or may not be, the incarnation shows us in Christ, nobody is a nobody. Because of Emmanuel, God with us, God assigns us all great dignity, great worth. Your life has great value. And listen to this, in God's kingdom, there are no second-class citizens. And to believe otherwise is to disbelieve the Bible. Besides the blessing of dignity and value, there's another blessing that Emmanuel brings into our life, and that is the blessing of being loved. Dignity, being loved. I came across a story recently about a man from Australia who had just begun working in London, England. The man used 100% of his first paycheck to fly back to Australia for a weekend. By the time he made it through airport security and customs in Sydney, the man had only 5 hours left before he had to check in for his return flight. Only 5 hours. Spent all his paycheck. Why in the world would a man spend all that money to take a long, exhausting journey from London to Sydney, Australia, for only 5 hours? Well, perhaps you can guess. He made the trip to see his girlfriend. Yes. And what did all that money and time and effort communicate to his girlfriend? He's telling her, I love you. I care about you. I want to be with you. You know, the man could have sent a text, Facebook message, letter, email. But being there communicated love. The man gave himself. And that said it all. Friends, when it comes to the incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus is giving up much more than a man in love with his girlfriend. Emmanuel traveled much, much, much farther than any man has ever traveled for any woman. Emmanuel traveled from the throne of heaven itself all the way down to a Middle Eastern manger, a cattle feeding trough. What you have in Emmanuel is the ultimate journey to pay the ultimate price on the cross. And why? Most famous verse in the Bible. Because God so loved the world that He gave. Notice that. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God the Father could have given you anything. I mean, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, which is symbolism for every cattle on every hill. But God chose to give His people the most precious gift He has. And the gift that God gave us is the gift we need the most. See, Jesus is God's greatest gift, God's most amazing blessing to the world. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, God for us, God blessing us, God communicating to you this morning, I love you enough to live and to die for you. Wow. Friends, Emmanuel, good news. Will Emmanuel be good news for you in 2022? Well, it depends, doesn't it? Depends on where you stand in relationship to the news. So I ask you this morning, when it comes to the good news of the gospel, Emmanuel, where do you stand? See, one thing's for sure. You are standing somewhere in relationship to this news. The question is, where? It's an important question. Need to make sure you answer it. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the good news of Emmanuel, God with us. We know, Lord, that offends people, but it only offends people who don't understand grace. Lord, we thank You for the dignity and love that is communicated to us and is benefited to us through the coming of Your Son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. We thank You, Lord, for sending Jesus to live and to die for Your people. And we pray, God, that there will be no one in this room this morning that is standing in anything other than a positive relationship, an affirmative relationship with the good news of Emmanuel. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.